Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. I could not get in Blog Talk today, so we don't have a chat today. So I'm sorry I can't see anybody in chat today, and usually I love seeing it. So I'm sorry I can't see you today. But today is Questions Friday, so we are already off to like the second, or is this the third weekend in January? I can't believe it. And we're having kind of good weather now, but that rain really wreaked havoc here, and there's still a lot of work to be done. But it, I guess everything comes with its price, but holy cow, that was a really big price. So let's just pray for those people and hope that they find everybody. They're still looking. It's just been a surprise. You know, I mean, we've had some really gnarly rainstorms, but this one just, it was still, the fire was still going on there. So it did put out the fire, but it caused all of this. So it's just been crazy. So anyway, today, after thinking about all these people and wondering, you know, when people say, why do these things happen? And I get that question a lot. Why does this happen? Why are people getting hurt? Why do people get hurt? And it all boils down truly back to our decisions, not like through weather or through anything, but when things like this happen, it brings us together. It makes us care about each other. It renews our value of each other to each other. Otherwise, everyone's just kind of going their merry old way. And even like, you know, think about times when you've gotten hurt and people came out of the woodwork to help or to come and see you or to, you know, remember how important you are to them. All of those things start, you know, coming around. Like, it doesn't matter how much, what it is you think anybody has or doesn't have. Everyone immediately becomes a person. And all the other stuff that we have created, that we've put into the mix, is gone. It just goes away. It's amazing how quickly that happens. And the caring and the love and the reaching out and the people going to help, the ones who can, because it's not even an area now that we can get into, you know, when there's a lot of snow, everybody's taken care of. People pay attention to people when we have to, because usually every day we don't have time. We're rushing here and rushing there, but then all of a sudden we make time. And the people that we work with in those times, we bond with, and we never break that bond. It's never the easy times that we do that with. It's either like really, really great or really, really hard. So, you know, these are natural things here that happen. We just build in the mountains, probably not the best idea, even though those are the most beautiful places to live in Southern California. But if you live in the mountains, you're subject to fires and you're subject to mudslides and you're subject to, you know, more rain, because it does rain in the mountains more. But you got beautiful views. So there's like this awful price to pay for something that's so beautiful at the same time. But, you know, the fires, sometimes they'll start from themselves. It's like a nature type thing, a natural thing in it. And then when there is a fire, it like throws seeds out to plant more vegetation for the future. And it's a cycle, and it goes on and on and on. Sometimes they're man-made. Sometimes it's a spark from something, and it's so dry here. But those fires, they happen naturally as well. And then we have the fire that, or the rain that comes naturally as well. So they're subject to a lot of variation of what's going to happen up there. And that's all I could think of was, you know, maybe it should teach us that, you know, let's be careful about what we allow to be built in certain areas, because they are, you know, like tunnels for this stuff. It just happens in those areas. So I have a question today, and it's from Eliana, and she says, "Hello, Nadia. Today I had a late day. After today's show, I rested a bit in bed, and then I had a vision with my eyes closed. I saw a man, Asian, I believe, sitting in a meditative position wearing white with a short ponytail at the top of his head. He showed me and took off a bracelet of beads around his wrist, very similar to mine. He stretched them out, showed them to me, stood up, placed the bracelet at the edge of a rock, and left. I said to myself, "So you're trying to show me my beads, huh?" He came back, picked them up, showed them to me again, and placed them back on the rock. "Nadia, I've been meditating with a couple of strings of beads, but these are my primary beads. I took them to the pyramids with me and meditated up at the moon and sun pyramids with them. My question is this man acknowledging that when I meditate, I should use these beads? It's the best of the bunch. I do have many visions when I lay in bed, but this one seemed to acknowledge my communication with him. Is there more to this, or is this simple and beautiful?" I stood up quick and thanked him, my angels, and, of course, God. I did love it, I must say. First of all, Eliana, you have this open portal in you that seems to bring your entire family in. If, you know, you see this, like, other dimension when you sleep or you meditate, and you just get all these little visits. Not everyone does. I don't get that many visits like that. I think the most was when my mom left, and then my dad, I saw when my mom was still here and my dad was gone. And once I saw one of my friend's dads because she was supposed to have an abortion, and he literally came and told me to tell her the baby's fine. And she had an amniocentesis. They told her that the baby was going to be, had Down syndrome. And she herself is already blind. So her husband called me and he was in a panic. And he said, "Oh my God, I don't know if I can do two disabilities in one family, because I have to work and, you know, I have to do everything. Like I can't split myself into two people, and I don't know if I could do this." And they were recommended that, you know, she was older, that she may want an abortion. She said, "No, I don't want to have an abortion no matter what." Her husband, there was a crossroads. And what happened was, when he called me, I felt so sad for them. And then a day later, I wake up, her dad's behind me in my sleep telling me that the boy, he even told me what it was, and he said, "The boy is fine. He's fine. He's going to be fine. And to go ahead with the pregnancy." So I was scared to tell them. I thought, "Oh my God, what if I'm wrong?" It was like the first time it's ever happened, and I freaked out. And I remember I was married to Sterling at the time, and Sterling said to me, "You know what? You need to tell them." And I said, "But what if I was just dreaming? Like, what was that?" And he said, "You have to tell them. That didn't happen to you for no reason." So at that time, I did tell them. And I called and I said, "Hey, you know what? This and this and this happened. And, you know, Lisa's dad was behind me, and this is what happened." And when I told them, they completely got it. And they stuck with the pregnancy. And that boy now is 11 years old and beautiful, beautiful boy. And maybe hyper, maybe, like, you know, wants to play too much. But boy, he's a boy's boy. He's a boy. And that's what happened. And so I trusted what I saw. I was just scared, because that's a big deal. What if, you know, at the end of the day, they have the baby and, you know, their little measurements and circumference of the head and the femur and everything they were telling them was true. But then it made me scared. Like, how many people did they tell that to? And it's not true. But either way, to say that things happen to us for no reason is to discount so many really cool, beautiful, truthful things. And this is one of those beautiful, truthful things. You don't just see this out of nowhere. You have these little visions, you have these little things, because it just kind of lets you know, okay, this is where you can roll right now. This is what's best for you now. And sometimes we're blessed enough to have that clear of a message. So to have a message like this and to have already been there and to have it happen in these ways, it, one, you're really connected. And two, you can trust what you see and breathe it in, just like, hey, that was really cool. Because now if something like that happens to me, I'm like, I get intrigued because now I trust it. I now know that these things happen. I now know that they're true because of the things that happen behind them. So there's a lot to be said for the power of our minds when we're not, like, I want to say, with our eyes open, we see more. When we sleep, we're more whole than when we are awake because we can see everything. Our veil is gone. Everything is gone. You're just between here and home the way animals are. But then when we wake up, the veil just comes right back on because there is absolutely no way that any of us could stay here knowing the whole picture. I do know when I first saw Christ and it felt so normal to see him. And then when I didn't see him, that's when I didn't feel normal anymore. I was like, wow, where did he go? Where did all that go? Wait, what just happened? And I was very upset. And I remember after I saw him thinking to myself, how am I going to remember everything that I knew when I saw him? Because when I saw him, I knew everything. And it was just like normal, just like par for the course to know everything. And then when he was gone, I didn't know everything anymore. But I did know how much we didn't know by how much I knew when I saw him. I also knew how much we were capable of. So when we tap in or we sleep or we have a dream, and that's where Dream Theme Thursday just took off. Because at first I'm like, yeah, this is fun. But once I started doing it, it's like something opened up in my brain and I just knew why a person dreamed the dream they dreamed. And I some people I'm like, hey, wow. But the other part of it is I found out that there is no dream that you could ever have that ultimately is bad news. Nothing is bad news. All just directionals. It's all just signs. It's all truly the deepest part of us talking to us. It might not look normal in the dream. It might be fragmented because it adds in what we're veiled from. Because when it happened, we weren't veiled. So people saying, so-and-so was flying, and then I died, and I got up, and, you know, like, all this stuff is happening. Oh, it was really weird. This person showed up, and then that, and I don't even know that person, or I know that person, but I don't know who they are. I never really talked to them, and why were they in my dream? And all these co-mingling of weird thoughts, and then in your dream, they're all in one place. And you're like, well, how did that happen? How did all these characters get in my mind, get in my dream? But it also tells you something else. It tells you how much effect people we've just met, by the way, don't really know, still touch our lives in energy. Never to truly discount anyone. There's times where I'm in a rush and I have to prioritize and I can get back to this person and that person, but I can't make it to the rest of my list that day. And it really bothers me, like it stays with me. Because to me, the person that's number eight that I don't have to get back to right now because I have to do what I have to do every day and then get to what I want to do, it bothers me. Because to me, they're just as important as the first thing I had to do. I just have to prioritize through some filter to be able to make it through the day. But it never leaves my mind that, oh my gosh, I couldn't get back to so-and-so today. I tried to get back to emails. I had hundreds of emails, or not emails, what is it called? The inbox on Facebook because of the holiday. And a lot of the people, I didn't know. But they come on the page. They may not click. They may not want to be outed. They may not want to be the person who follows me, or they may want to be the person who follows me. It all depends on who they are and how new they are to understanding themselves. But I want to answer all of them if I can, and I'm trying. I still have a few hundred to go, but I did my best the other day. I sat for like 2 hours, and I did as much as I can, and hopefully I'll find another pocket of time. Better late than never. But I love to acknowledge. That's a bond. And when you have these kinds of visions or these kinds of meditations or these kinds of dreams, they're telling you something. It's the more clearer form of communication. Normally our communication is muddled with second meanings and third meanings and what someone meant and energy and all these other factors laid on top of it and layers. But when you see stuff like this, it's just boom. And you don't forget it because it's boom. It's like right on the money. I think when I meet people who are agnostic or who might feel atheist, being an atheist, and I talk to them, and I might not know yet that they're an atheist, or they're agnostic, or they're questioning, or they're religious. I don't know who they are yet. And somehow, if they come to see me speak, or I happen to be somewhere where they happen to be, and we're talking, and if the subject gets to this, not once to this day has anyone stopped me because of what they believed already. For some reason, this language of love, it goes into that unveiled part, not the veiled part. I couldn't figure out at first what was happening, but then I realized, oh my God, this is the part of them that knows better. This is the part of them that wants to be convinced. This is the part, oh wow, this is why I met them. And when I know for just 1 second that somebody can hear me, I go into a whole nother stratosphere and I can't stop telling them the beautiful things I have come to know. I can't stop. And then I realize how much I know. And then I realize how much I need to talk about this. And they renew me. And then at the end of it all, they'll say, by the way, I'm agnostic. And I'll say, you don't believe? Or you do believe? Like, what does that mean to me? It means I have questions. I say, oh, Christ just said you need to be convinced. Because that's what Christ told me about atheists and agnostics. They're just not convinced yet. Does it mean they're wrong? No. If it weren't for them, we wouldn't have the discussions of whether or not there is. Why does it have to be such a big deal if there's a God or not? Why do we have to take a stand? All those questions come up. I love those questions. My favorite questions are the hardest questions. So when we have things that happen to us, I don't want to say stop every day and think, what's the reason behind this and what's the reason behind that? Because you won't have time. But when something happens that kind of stands out, ask yourself, hey, that stood out in my life. Why? Just a simple why. That's all you need. Why do I think that happened to me? Why did I see this man in my meditation? Gently, beads on a rock, move them, put them back. Why did it make me feel so good? because the energy of love can only propel. There is nowhere else for it to go but forward. And that's hard for us to believe because at times, not only do we want to think forward, but what we believe more than growing forward is being backwards. We've bought all this self-doubt, worry, guilt for whatever we don't understand yet about ourselves, a lot of taught behavior to us that is built in to this world that took us to a place none of us like being anymore. We're tired. We're like, okay, we went down this road. We're all tired. Everything's been priced more than what we make. We have to take loans to live, to go to school, to be educated. And then we have to get a job to pay the loan on top of the house and the car and the kids. And it's just gotten to a point of, wow, can I afford to have kids? Should I have kids? With that comes a whole bag of work and world, and can I afford it? Even with both of us working, can we afford it? Can we even afford daycare? Because that just tacks on another $800 a month and then another $600 for that. And where does that money come from? And right now in our world, we are adjusting. And what's happening is this is the one time in our history of this industrial age where more people are becoming self-employed than working for companies. Because they cannot afford to give the time the companies need and still take care of their family, even though they need the money. So they're finding other ways. So we are evolving out of the old system, but every change is a million baby steps. But something in us is a survivor, and we have learned to survive under every circumstance we have. We find the path of least resistance. And working for companies is no longer just about the paycheck, but it's about, can I afford to give that much time away from my family at this point in my life? Should one of us stay home and take care of the kids? Is it more economical? And believe it or not, in more cases than not, it is. Because there's a cost that comes with working. Because you have to pay for a lot of stuff that's ready-made. And so we are evolving into trusting who we are, into, you know, Eliana trusting this question. Into you trusting what's best for me today. And then trusting yourself enough to actually do it. Because the minute you do something, you trust, what happens? You trust yourself more. If you go against the grain and you know in your heart what you're doing isn't cool, and you know that, well, I'll just do this now, but then I'll be good, whatever that means to you, doesn't work. Doesn't work. You're just puffing, what do they say, puffing air out. It doesn't work. We cannot trick ourselves anymore. We cannot trick other people anymore because we have evolved out of that. We've just evolved out of it. And the thing with me is I love people so much, and I get, obviously, a lot of confessions, and some I can never, ever repeat, and others I'm allowed to talk about, so there's a scale. But I will say that every time until this day anyone has confessed anything to me, I don't care what it was, I only loved them more. I love them more. That's how powerful the truth is. Because the fact that they were able to face me and tell me tells me that they hit a point of purity in their own soul enough to say, hey, I can speak on this now, which means they will now be able to heal from it. I have never seen such relief as I have when somebody has confessed even the worst thing. And I've heard some gnarlies. But the freedom that comes with self-acceptance, the freedom that comes with knowing that you are only a human being and that at times you may think you want something, but it may not be ultimately right for you. The fact that you figure that out is what's important. That's why I always say, tell yourself the truth. Tell yourself the truth. Because if you can say it to yourself, you do not need to convince anyone that you are right or wrong. You already know. And so you may say to somebody, this wasn't my best decision. But at the time, I was desperate. Or at the time, I didn't know this or that. Or I didn't care. Flat out just didn't care. But that level of honesty, especially self-honesty, is above and beyond anything else you could do, buy, or have in this lifetime. It is the most amazing, subset of other truths that start coming up. And you say, oh, that one's easy. I already tackled the big one. I already talked about that one. So this is nothing. I can easily handle this. It lifts you. And everything underneath it becomes doable. It has a track. It has a template. You've already done it. There is such a blessing in a human being, any human being, any soul that lives on this earth. That's why people in jail will turn to religion, because now they've gotten convicted. And if they have the guts to admit whatever it was they did, now they're free. And ironically, behind bars, but now they are free. It doesn't matter where they are. And even there, they have the space to study. And a lot of them come out really tight with the Bible because that was their best friend in prison. And then there's others who really didn't do the crime and they fight it till the end, and now we're seeing them come out. So once in a while, someone will get released. But fighting for the truth, whatever the truth is, just like Christ said, it doesn't matter what the answer is as long as it's true. I also wanted to read Maria Dulce. She wrote on Facebook, and she said, "Dear Nadia, the last 7/7/17 and Questions Friday, I made a question regarding a member of my family experiencing depersonalization and derealization. I want to say a big thank you to you, Nadia, and Christ. Your answer made all the difference. God bless you always. Love, lots of love, Maria." So that just gets a big yay for Friday. What a way to end the week. And Eliana, trust your little visions, because they're actually big visions and big things that happen in meditations. And I wish I meditated more. I mean, for me, it happens a lot in my sleep. But during the day, I think I'm too hyper to, sit. I'll fall asleep. But, wow, that's so great that you could do that, and then look what you found. So that's even cooler. And I know I only have a few seconds left. I can't click on the music at the end. I know sometimes I don't even get to it. But I wish you guys have a great, happy, and safe weekend. I will see you guys on Monday. I can't believe we're going to be starting the third week in January. It's amazing. And I hope you guys have some really good times this weekend. Bye-bye.